I want to leave with you this evening a very, very simple and plain text of Scripture. Just a few words that we read together, and they are found in verse 15 of the chapter. David says this under inspiration of God, "My times are in thy hand." Beloved, can I ask you a few questions this evening? Personal questions. Probing questions. Have you ever come to a crisis point in your life? A point beyond which you believe you can really go no further? Have you ever reached a place where it seems that the enemy is coming in as a flood, and you are being so overcome and overwhelmed by the pressures and burden that is heavily pressing down upon you? Have you ever found yourself, as it were, with your back against the wall, and you don't really know what to do, which way to turn? You look at your friends. Perhaps you look at family members, and you come to the conclusion that the world seems so rosy for them. But life appears to be so wrong for me. It would appear that the lights have gone out in your life, and the pressure in many ways has become so unbearable. You can really say that the chips are down as far as my life is concerned. Do you find yourself reasoning like this? No one really knows my problems and my plight. Nobody really knows the road that I'm travelling along, and nobody could possibly understand. As day follows day, the energy, the enjoyment in life, it seems to be getting sapped out of your soul. In your opinion, you believe that life has dealt you a very, very poor hand. Well, if that's the way you feel this evening, then you're in good company, because David, the great king of Israel, who penned this psalm under inspiration of God, you know, he felt the very same way. At this stage in his life, he felt that he had been abandoned. He felt that he was all alone. You'll know that some of the psalms have been written by Moses, some by Solomon, some by Hezekiah, and some by the minor prophets, but the greatest majority of these psalms were written by David, and David alone. When we come to Psalm 31, we note that David wrote this psalm during a very, very dark and a very, very dismal period in his life. But the Spirit of God, it draws back the curtain on the life of David. And we are introduced here to David, warts and all. The psalm is not as familiar as many other psalms written by David. However, here in this portion of God's precious word, sometimes we see David preaching. Other times we can read texts of Scripture here, and David was praying. There were times when he was praising the God of heaven, and there were other times when he was prophesying. I want us this evening to just take a few moments to try to analyze what was exactly happening in the life of David when he wrote this tremendous psalm. I want us to see his great need and his desire for God to intervene in his problems, in his circumstances, and for the Lord to bring him deliverance and protection and help. I want us to see how he, under God, would overcome insurmountable obstacles in his life. Remember, these were very dark and depressing and difficult days for Israel's king. We want to try and see how David reached the road to recovery. Because, friends, there is a way back. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open. And we may go in. And Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. And so I want us to see how, when David was in such a state of depression in this portion of Scripture, how he found the road to recovery and how he gained the ground of victory once more with the Lord. Perhaps as we consider this period of his life, we will draw the conclusion this was a dark, dark providence that had been passed on to David. But it was all happening in the permissible will of God. I wonder, could that be your plight tonight? I wonder, can you relate in some ways to what David was experiencing here? Questions for which you have no real answer to at this stage. Maybe you can sympathize with him as you see his heartache and as he bears the burden in the heat of the day. Look at some of the cries that we see in this tremendous chapter. Verse 2, he says, deliver me. He says, be thou my strong rock. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, Lord, lead me and guide me. Verse 4, Lord, pull me out of the net. It was as though David was ensnared and entangled at this period of his life. Look what it says in verse 7. Consider my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. Look what it says in verse 12. I am forgotten, as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Look at verse 13. Fear was on every side. Yet in spite of the plight, in spite of his brokenness, in spite of his problems, I want us to see first of all here that there is a truth that David knows. In the midst of all that has befallen him in his life, some Bible scholars believe that this was the time when his son Absalom was pursuing him for the kingdom. But David knows this, that there is mercy with the Lord. In spite of his difficulties that are pressing down upon him, he knew that the God of heaven was the God of great mercy. He knows that it's only the Lord who can really help him at this stage of his life. Money wasn't going to get him out of this mess. His mighty men in Israel, they weren't going to give him the victory over the problems that he faced. His role as a monarch in the nation, it wasn't going to help him at this stage in his life. It was just the mercy of God that he was relying upon. And it begs the question, doesn't it? Where would any of us be this evening if it wasn't for the mercy of God in our lives? And what is mercy? Mercy is something that we just don't deserve. Mercy is often something that we don't fully understand. Why a gracious God, why a holy God should be so merciful to sinners such as we. Mercy is that we can never earn and we can never merit. In the book of Ephesians, we read of the church at Ephesus. And there in chapter 2, we have a vivid description of what was taking place in the church at that time. Ephesians chapter 2, we read these words, "And you, the Ephesians, hath he quickened, hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But Paul writes this in the next verse, But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. Yes, that is indeed the truth that David knows, that he's finished, except God intervene in his mercy. There is the truth that David knows, but there is the trouble also that David encountered. Look what it says in verse 9 again in the book of Psalms. We read these words, Psalm chapter 31 and verse 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." Lord, I have a problem. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I've messed up in life. Lord, I don't know what to do. He was simply saying this, Lord, I'm in trouble. Oh, if only I had a pound for every time I've had to come before the Lord in prayer and utter those words, Lord, I'm in trouble, I've got a problem. David's life, you know, it seemed to be haunted with troubles and problems. He had trouble when he was a shepherd boy. Remember when he was looking after the sheep of his father, Jesse? And the lion came and it stole one of the lambs from the flock. And David went out after the lion. On another occasion, after the bear, and he smote the lion and the bear and won back that lamb. It was trouble when he was a young soldier. You will remember that time when the notorious Goliath of Gath came. He stood before Israel and said, "Give me a man that we may fight." And as they all shied away from the champion of the Philistines, it was David that says, "I will take on this uncircumcised Philistine." He had trouble when he was sovereign, when he ruled the nation and Absalom tried to prize the nation from his hands, and he was hunted like a partridge in the fields. He had trouble as a saint of God. He may have been a great saint, but he had great troubles as well. Was it not Job that could say, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards"? Beloved, we all face troubles and problems. And there's not an individual in this preaching house this evening that hasn't issues to deal with in their own life. Trials, difficulties, troubles. The truth that David knows, he needs the mercy of God. The trouble that David faced, Lord, he says, "I'm in trouble." I want you to see in verse 9 the tears that David shed. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief." As we've said, we don't know the period that this speaks of in David's life. But what we do know is this, that his heart was broken at this stage. We can see for ourselves the pain that he's experiencing, the anxieties that he's facing, the burden that he's carrying. We can see the stress that he was under and the tears that he wept. We can see something else. We can see the pain that he had in his stomach. Look what it says in verse 9. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." Look what we read in verse 10. "For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquities. My bones are consumed." And so we begin to get a flavor of the real difficulty faced by this child of God. Just in those first verses 9 and verses 10, he speaks of my trouble and my eyes and my soul and my belly and my life and my grief and my sighing and my strength and mine iniquity. and my bones. Beloved, here's an individual who is in a terrible and an awful place of anguish and depression. Whatever has happened in David's life is now crushing down upon him. He feels as though he's sinking under the burden and the pressures of life. Such is the trouble that you and I can find ourselves in also. The picture vividly resembles the sinner, you know. In all his misery and in all his shame and in all his sin, whatever has befallen him, we can clearly see that David, he's a broken man with a broken heart and a broken life at this stage. I want to ask you a question. Can there be any hope for such an individual? Can you really get as low as David got and find that road to recovery and redemption and rejoicing once again? Praise God, the answer is yes. Because we have here the truth that David knows that there is mercy with the Lord. The trouble that David faced, Lord, I'm in trouble. The tears that David shed, but there was also the trust that David maintained. Look what he says in verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. He here emphatically is saying that in spite of all my difficulties, of all my doubts, of my great dilemma and distress, Lord, thou art still my God in the midst of it all. My only hope, Lord, rests in thee. For there's only you who can bring deliverance. You're the God of Abraham. You're the God of Isaac. You're the God of Jacob. And you're my God, even though days are so difficult at the moment. And in thee, and in thee alone, will I place my trust. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my God. He could have said something else, you know. He could have said, I can't explain this, Lord. What's happening to me? So often, isn't that the reasoning that we use? He could have said, Lord, I don't understand what's happening here. And so often, you and I do the same. He probably said, Lord, I'm unable to cope. And perhaps so would we. Say the very same thing. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he picks himself up. And he says, I'm going to trust you, Lord, with my problem. I want you to take ownership of it all. I want you to simply get me through the stormy waters, for I trust in thee, for thou art my God. I wonder, are we willing Are we willing to give the Lord responsibility for all of our life? Do we trust Him enough to hand over the reins of our problems and our responsibility to Him this evening? Or are we trying to row the boat in our own efforts? Beloved, how did David get through this dark period of his life? How did he overcome such adversity? How did he gain the victory? By simply trusting the Lord. By leaning upon the mercy of God. Do you know, in many ways we could finish the message there this evening. Because it's your only hope, and it's my only hope in life, is to trust in God. To look to the Lord in times of trouble. But there's one final thought before we close, and it's this. We can see the truth that David knows, the trouble that David faced, the tears that David shed, the trust that he maintained. I'm going to trust in thee. But what about the testimony that David embraced? Look what it says in verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Just 6 words. And really, that forms the basis of my message this evening, because if you take nothing away from the martyrs this evening, take those 6 words away. My time is in thy hands. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We sang it together this evening. He'll guide us with His hand. With God, things don't just happen, friends. Everything by Him is planned. We really don't know what tomorrow will hold for any one of us as individuals. Our nation, it's in turmoil this evening. There is out there political unrest. We only have to switch on our TV screens or lift up a newspaper to see that the Mother of Parliament sits in absolute chaos and turmoil. We have legislation being imposed upon us against the unborn in this nation. We have same-sex marriage being legalized and imposed upon God-fearing Ulster. And what kind of times lie ahead for this beloved province? Friends, it's enough to get us to worry, but remember this. Our times are in His hands. I wonder, you know, what type of times lie ahead for our denomination? A denomination which is taking a stand in the last of the last days. What type of times lie ahead for us as a denomination, as a work here in the city of Belfast? What times will we face here, even in the martyrs? Many of us may answer the question, well, who knows? Well, God knows. Because, friends, our time is in His hands. How about your family? What kind of times lie ahead for your family? What type of times lie ahead for you and me as individuals? See, what David was saying here, he was applying to himself. He says, my times. Friends, this was personal. It was personal to David. He's speaking of himself. In the midst of all his trouble and all his dilemma and all his difficulties, he looks to the Lord and he says, Lord, you're in control. It was personal. He speaks of the period. He speaks of the time. From the day he is born till the day David is taken home to glory, his time was in the hand of God. He speaks in the present tense here because he says, my time is in or are in thy hands. Right here and right now. And then what a precious thought. But although it's personal, although it's here and now, David rests upon the thought that I'm in the very hand of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Friend, what about you this evening? What about your times? One day, you know, for you and for me, we will hear for the very last time the gospel of redeeming grace. One day we will sing for the very last time our final hymn. One day we will give our loved ones our very last hug. David could say, there is but a step between me and death. In an unexpected moment, on perhaps an uneventful day, friends, you and I are going to take our very last breath in this old life. But what then? Because right now, your time is in his hands. And I wonder, do we trample week after week underfoot the bloodstained banner of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be an absolute disaster to have sat under the sound of the gospel here in the martyrs? To have tuned in on sermon audio? To have listened to many, many messages? And then to have failed to trust the God of all mercy. And what then? What then for your soul? Loved ones will weep o'er my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in sweet embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place. 5 minutes after I die. Faces that sorrow I will not see. Shadows that murmur, they'll not reach me. But where, oh where, will my spirit be? 5 minutes after I die. Quickly the years of my life have flown. gathering treasures I thought were my own. There I must reap from the seed that I have sown 5 minutes after I die. Nought to repair the good I lack, fixed to the goal of my chosen track, no time to repent, no turning back, 5 minutes after I die. Mated forever with my chosen throng, long is eternity, oh so long, then woe is me if my soul be wrong, 5 minutes after I die. If I am flinging a fortune away, if I am wasting salvation's day, just is my sentence, my soul will say, 5 minutes after I die. God help you choose your eternal state. Depends on your choice, you dare not wait. You must choose now, or it will be too late. 5 minutes after I die. My times are in thy hand, but I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for a sense of thy presence. Lord, these have been real issues. These are not just life and death issues that we're speaking of this evening, but they're eternal issues. Because our decision in these times, when God has us in his hand, our decision will determine our destiny. And so, Lord, we pray that you will have mercy upon us, that you will give us grace, that you will save souls even this evening, and sweep men and women into the kingdom of our God. Bless us in the closing moments of this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.